Well, today being our fifth anniversary, I just want to do something a little special today. I'm not going to be long, but I want to walk you through the keys to the kingdom. You see, for as many as you know, I work at a tow yard, and we have people coming in and day out talking about they own a particular vehicle. Some of them walk in with their registration that matches their driver's license, and we allow them to take their car or get their belongings out the car. We have people who walk in and they have identification, but we have no way of knowing who owns the car. So they can't get anything out of their vehicle. Usually they get quite upset with us. But then we have those that come in who have their driver's license. They may not have the registration, but the one thing they do have is they have the keys to the car. And we usually take the keys and we go out, and if it opens the car up, we say, well, it must be their car. That's the same thing that I want to talk about today, because having the keys to something gives you authority to possess that item. If you walk with me, I want to talk to you. Our title for today is simply The Keys to the Kingdom. Got too many technical things going on here, but I want to talk to you about the keys to the kingdom, and we're taking it from Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 19, which reads, it says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." Now, just to give you a little bit of background as to what's going on, as always, let's start back at the beginning, away from our focal verse, and we'll go look at Matthew 16, verse 13, where Jesus is asking the disciples to tell him who others say he is. The scripture tells us that when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, I want to stop right there and tell you that unlike 45, when Jesus asked the question, "Who do men say that I am, the Son of Man?" he did not ask this question because he didn't know who he was, or because he had the unfortunate dependence on the opinion of others. He asked this question as an introduction to a more important follow-up question. So the disciples answered and said, "Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So he said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Let's stop and think about that for a minute. Who do you say he is? Well, Simon Peter answered him and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are," some thought, "as a herald of national repentance, like John the Baptist," and some thought Jesus was a familiar worker of miracles, like Elijah. Some thought Jesus was just someone who spoke the word of God, like Jeremiah and the prophets. "But who do you say I am?" is the question in front of the disciples. It's fine that the disciples know what others thought about Jesus, but Jesus had asked them as individuals what they believed. Who do you say I am? This is the question placed before all who hear of Jesus. And it's we, not he, who are judged by our answer. In fact, we answer this question every day by what we believe and by what we do. If we really believe Jesus is who he says he is, it will affect the way we live. You see, if we look at verse 16, we find that Peter responds to the question of who Jesus is by boldly, and I want you to note he boldly stated, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, Peter did know the opinion of the crowd. While it was complimentary towards Jesus, it wasn't quite accurate. Jesus was much more than what they said he was. He was a national reformer. He was more than a miracle worker. He was more than a prophet. You see, Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Peter understood that Jesus was, in fact, not only the Messiah, but also the Son of the living God. If we look at verses 17 and 18, Jesus compliments Peter for his bold and correct declaration. Jesus answers and says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you, Peter, that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." You see, Jesus reveals to Peter that he spoke of divine inspiration. Even if he did not know at the time what was going on, in this, Peter was genuinely blessed, both by the insight of himself that the Holy Spirit gave him, but how it came to him. You see, Peter was touched by God. We too often expect God to speak in strange and unnatural ways. Here God spoke through Peter so naturally that he didn't even realize it was the Father who is in heaven that revealed it to him. Now let's stop for a moment and look at the words of Jesus, and I quote from verse 18. It says, "I also say to you that you are Peter." This is not a recognition of Peter's more Roman name. It is also a promise of God's work in Peter. This shows that Jesus was anticipating or prophesying what would come of these disciples and those who would believe in their message. And Jesus, their message was that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This statement of Jesus was a clear claim of ownership. When he states, "My church," listen, he says, "My church," the church that belongs to Jesus. It does not belong to me. It does not belong to you. It belongs to Christ. This is also a claim to his deity. Taken together, the promise is wonderful. You see, he brings his people together in common. He says, "I will build a church." He builds a firm foundation when he says, on this rock I will build. He builds something that belongs to him when he says, my church. And he builds it into a stronghold when he says, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus also offered a promise that the forces of death and darkness cannot prevail against his church. This is a valuable promise in these dark and discouraging times for the church. This may have been said over 2,000 years ago, but it's still true today that his promise still carries all the weight that he said it would. You see, in verse 19, he says to Peter, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. When he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ, this idea of Peter holding the keys of the kingdom of heaven has captured the imagination and theology of many Christians throughout the centuries. Some people think that this means that Peter has the authority to admit people into heaven or to keep people out of heaven. But and this is based on the popular image of Peter at the pearly gates of heaven, allowing people to enter or turning them away. But it says, Scripture says, that it's by your belief in Jesus Christ that you will enter into the gates of heaven. I just want you to know that for a fact. Imagine, if you would, a set of keys. It doesn't matter what type of keys. House keys, car keys, mailbox keys. You see, the fact is that Jesus really isn't talking about this type of key. The key that he is speaking of are symbolic keys. There are five of the greatest gifts God has given us. You see, the keys of the kingdom of heaven symbolize, first, the authority we have in the name of Jesus Christ. John 14:12-14 says this. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. The greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever he asks in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The second key that he gives us is the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. The third key that he gives to us as children of the Most High is simply wisdom. The wisdom of our Father in all situations, even those that go on today. He gives us wisdom. He gives us understanding. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. The fourth key that we are looking at is the key of responsibility. The responsibility to study and apply the Word of God in all things. 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is why I tell you guys, I tell you each and every time I get an opportunity to study your Bible, study the Word of God, listen, take it. If there's something in you you do not understand, the word right there says, do not be ashamed, ask. And it will be given, it will be rightly divided for you. And then if we look at the fifth key that God has given us, it's the key of accountability. The accountability to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all who will listen. Matthew 28:18 through 20 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. If you don't know what that is, that's called the Great Commission that we all have been given as believers to go forth and make disciples. Now, I just, because I'm on the keys, I want you to understand. I want you to think about the keys to your home. Are you walking with me? You see, having the keys gives you authority. You can enter whenever you want to. You can set up the place however you want to. You can even paint it whatever colors you want. Well, maybe not in an apartment complex. But likewise, with the keys to the kingdom, you have authority. You have power. You have wisdom and responsibility to do the works of God has directed you to. But you see, there's one catch, and that's with these keys, you are accountable. We are talking about the keys to the kingdom. When I say you're accountable, you are accountable for all things that God has revealed to you. So as I close the day, you're probably asking, how do you get a set of those keys? How do